Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, we're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We trust you. Thank you so much for blessing us the way you have all throughout our lives. Thank you for all that's been going on in the last few weeks and months. And thank you for that strong hedge of angels that you always have about us so that we can continue doing this work and stand firm no matter what. We especially thank you for the trials because it's going to get very intense. And if we're standing firm now, we should be able to stand firm then as long as we stay in the Word and stay on our knees. Please bless everyone here in attendance, everyone on the radio and the phone, the stream and here in the room. Thank you so much for always being with us and keeping us safe, as your Son promised, all the way to the end of the world. And thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak, so that you and you alone are being glorified. And if we are so worthy, thank you for the latter rain. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. I want to make a quick announcement. I'm going to repeat this too for the church service, but I'm not going to make it all long and drawn out and all that. But and for those of you that are moderating, I sent an email to a couple of you guys. I know I got one to Eli and Brother Eli, Brother Craig, and Brother Warren. And it shows how to hide people, if you will, in the stream, because the stream is getting a little bit difficult with, like in the chat room during church services, we always shut the chat section off during, during the study hour and the sermon hour, because we are to be here, you know, to learn and to grow and have the showbread changed and all that good stuff. And so we can't really do that in the stream without permanently shutting off the text chat in the stream. And so that causes, issues, especially the fact that I start the stream 30 minutes early, sometimes 15 minutes early if I forget. And so people are just sitting there doing nothing, and they might get a little bit bored and just leave. And so thank you for being considerate in the stream. Everybody here in the chat room is already used to this, but during the study hour in the chat room the regular hour for the sermon, you know, years ago we didn't have to shut off the room. We didn't have the ability to shut it off. Now we just do, just to prevent people from being tempted, because we have a bunch of new people that come in the room on a regular basis, and they don't know, you know, the rules and regulations that we have here. So please be considerate during church services and the stream. And rumor has it, and I don't know where anybody is at this point, so I got to say this on the stream as well as in the room. I praise God for the zeal for the Seventh-day Remnant people, but we got to do things in a way that not only exhibits love, but cultivates love. And what I mean is, it is not wise for us to be going into other church services during their church services on the stream, and especially during our own church service, leaving our church service to go into theirs to, share some truth with them, and then it upsets them and gets you kicked out. It's not a badge of honor. It's just, you know, there's a time and place for us to do this. And on Sabbath day, we are supposed to be gathered with like-minded brethren and embrace that which is written so we can grow in Christ. And we have 600 days of the week that we can go forth or after church, you know, like even when their church service ends and they have their fellowship on the chat, like if they do a fellowship thing in their streams, yeah, you can go in there now at that time and start sharing. You know, like people coming out of a church, you're out there in the parking lot waiting on them, handing out tracts. There's nothing wrong with that. Although sometimes the security will get you out of there. You know, some of our brethren have found that out, that like passing out the tracts. And so please, 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 please be considerate. And, you know, because especially the Seventh-day Remnant people, you know, I would think most of them don't have an issue in this area. But I do know some were going into other areas on YouTube and whatnot and forsaking the fellowship. That's actually forsaking the fellowship. You know, you were supposed to gather together, especially when the times are ending. And so we need to be together on Sabbath. So, and by the way, in 2 weeks, communion. We're going to be having communion. So anyway, this week we are, we're still in the sanctuary study, of course. And so, and we're going to be here for a while. But now I'm sure that I've said this many times before, but something that's important needs to be declared often so as to make sure we all understand just how important this truly is. But if you look around the world, you'll see that most Christians never seem to grow up in Christ. They step into the courtyard, they accept Him as Savior, they get baptized so as to profess Him Lord, but when they walk into the holy place, they stop dead in their tracks and let their pastors take it from there. But, and you know where I'm getting at, right? Because the showbread's right in there, you know? And then, of course, the incense, and then the lampstand, or the candle, candlestick. But today, it's not a wise thing to do. And that's exactly how Satan set it up, because the pastors of today, most of them are wolves. And they're doing exactly what Satan needs to for them to do to keep the babes as babes, who will never be able to discern the Lord's will for them, so that when it gets really intense out there, they're not going to be able to handle it. So, yeah, amen. Thanks for, Brother Warren, what you put there. But there is moderating. Well, you saw the email I sent you. There's a way, like if somebody's being disruptive, you just hide them. You know, you just there's going to be like three little dots that show up next to their name on the right side of the chat room. You click it and it's hide the user. You can hide them in the room, or you can, it says go to their channel, and you can hide them at their channel where they, you know, they can talk to their blue in the face. No one's going to see it. And so that's just the best way to go there. And so getting back to the, you know, how the enemy likes to keep the babes in babes and keep them confused and, you know, having no effectiveness in their prayer life as well as their ability to share their faith. When it comes to that point, they never come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, as Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 says, which I just read, and I should have probably said I was going to read that because, you know, I don't put these in the notes. But daily study in the Word of God is absolutely essential unto every person alive that has come to know Jesus as Lord. I mean, it's just, it doesn't matter if you've embraced Him as Savior an hour ago or a decade ago. A daily eating of the showbread is the only way any of us can stay healthy in our spiritual lives. You know, in this age of convenience where you can buy fast food already cooked and prepared in a few minutes to having your oil change in your car, you know, in under 20 minutes, most people have come to expect everything should be done in the most convenient manner possible for some strange reason. And so this is why most babes stay babes, because they step into a church and let the pastor do all the studying for them, because they look at the idea of Bible study each morning as being very inconvenient. And when they refuse to dine on the Word of God each morning, as King David did, and he's a king, you think he's busy? Yeah, he's got more than a 9-to-5. But when they refuse to read the Word, they become spiritually sick and literally crippled as Christians. So much so that the wolf on the pulpit takes advantage of them so as to preach everything from a secret rapture to eternal life and hellfire, and because they, or Sunday Sabbath, and because they trust their pastor over the Lord's promise to teach His Word to them, they end up joining the ranks of the lost all around the world, traveling on the wide road to destruction, and they think they're Christians. See, a lot of people seem to forget and keep on forgetting that at the end of the 1,000 years, when the Lord does His strange act, His strange work, it's called in the Scriptures, because He's a God of love, but He has to destroy them because that was His promise unto them, you know, that especially unto Satan and his angels, He was going to destroy them all. But if the people, you know, God's people want to, you know, jump in the fire with Him, that's their problem. He's not going to you know, change his word just because people don't want to read it. And so my point in all that is, the Bible says they're going to be weeping and gnashing their teeth. Now, we know the gnashing part is mostly, it's not so much about the pain, it's the anger and the hatred, because they want to get at the tree of life in the city, because the city is descending from above, and they know what that tree is all about. Satan told them. And so they want to live forever, you know, get to the tree, you know, for the healings of the nations, the leaves on the trees, right? So they want to get at there, and they're gnashing because they're all ticked off. And you can see, you know, political leaders and popes and prelates and all this other stuff being very angry and hateful, that they're being done away with. The weeping comes from the Christians who thought they were Christians. You know, because I remember when I was a young guy, I used to think all I got to do is believe in Jesus and I got heaven tapped. But then I found in James 2:19, it says that the devils believe and tremble. I says, well, that's right. Satan knows who he is. And he's going to hell. I thought, well, I better start reading my Bible. So now do you see why it says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge? Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. That's sad when you think about it. And everybody still, you know, like some people can read that and think, yeah, well, it is still kind of annoying to read the Bible every day. Well, then deal with it. I mean, because eventually it's not going to be annoying. Babes in Christ can tell you, myself included, when I first came into the truth, it was difficult for me to read the Word, but I knew deep in my heart that this is a guy that doesn't write a book that his own people can't understand. I mean, think about that. I mean, he can create all that is seen and unseen. I mean, just looking at the structure of a cell, with the codependency of the cell, no less, just like with the codependency of creation. Some people seem to think that it took 6,000 years to create all that stuff. Well, then there's a certain wasp on a certain fig, you know, tree. I don't know if it might be a fig bush. That wouldn't be here today, because the tree cannot be pollinated without the wasp, and the wasps can't procreate without the tree, because it goes into the figs. It drills a hole, goes in there, lays its eggs, and dies there. And obviously the babies come out or do whatever they do, and they come out. And when they come out, it pollinates, because they're running around inside there, and they're pollinating the daylights out of it. So if it takes 1,000 years for something to happen, then 1,000 years later the insects are created, well, those wasps aren't going to be, that you know, particular wasp won't be around anymore. After a few days, it ain't got, you know, after it lives its life, it can't procreate anymore, because the tree it needs to procreate with isn't there. And it's little tidbits like that that a lot of people don't seem to realize, that it becomes exciting to read the Bible, especially if you put your, you know, shut your TVs off and put down your cell phones. I mean, that's no mistake. People literally are addicted to those things. Satan knows exactly what he's doing there. Or your careers. He says, oh, I'm too busy. I got to get up at a certain time, get out of the house and go to work and come home. Yeah, you'll remember all that when you're weeping at the end of the 1,000 years. Was it really worth it? No, of course not. It's not going to be worth it. You're weeping. Because you know you're about to turn into ashes, never to be ever again. And then the people that knew it was worth it are going to walk on your ashes, it says in the scriptures. I mean, seriously, how hard is it to get up an hour earlier to make sure you spend some time, quality time, with the Lord before going off to work? I mean, ever notice how backward society has become on this? I mean, what I mean is, people will pack in as much work each day, sometimes working 10 to 12 hours a day just to get the dollar they need to make the secular life happier, even though that life, you know, eventually ends up with old age, or ends in with old age. And so after decades and decades of worshiping the dollar, they go to a Christless grave. But when it comes to their spiritual life, that if nurtured, will grant them an eternity of peace and happiness. It's like pulling teeth to get some people to spend more than 5 minutes in the Word of God each day to assure that they stay on the path that leads to eternal life. And so again, you know, things a little bit backwards there. And when some of them do take time to read His Word, their hearts are focused on trivial concerns of everyday life, making it impossible for them to understand what they read, because the enemy of souls keeps on compiling. That's why you got to pray first. That's why the frankincense was put on the bread, in the like we were talking about last week. You got to pray first. That'll cast all the little annoying little gremlins out of there, you know, the demons and whatnot. And so, but if they don't, they zip through the Bible without getting a single solitary blessing from it, thinking, oh, I've done my reading for today, and they zip on out the door. And as Jesus stated long ago in Matthew 13, verse 15, this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed. Hold on. Oh, that cat. I don't know. She likes to rip up rugs for some reason. So, yeah, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. I mean, they surface read the Bible thinking that's all they need to do to gain salvation. And so I have to ask, isn't that the exact same thing Catholics do with their medals and crucifixes? I mean, think about it. They wear those idols thinking it's their duty, and in so doing, they're going to gain heaven. And so when you pick up a Bible with the thought of just reading it as fast as you can is all you need to do to gain heaven, that Bible then no longer becomes a book of truth to you. It literally becomes an idol, just like a cross or a scapular hangs around the neck of a Catholic. Same thing. It's amazing. Have you ever heard of the acronym someone made up years ago for the word Bible, you know, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth? I mean, I would prefer it to be blessed instructions before leaving Earth, because while basic instructions is how most people find Christ, once found, we need to get much deeper into His Word to receive the many blessings within it. Still, the reality in both acronyms holds true in that without the Bible being our anchor, we cannot hope to make it through life, let alone gain eternal life. And as we study deeper in His Word, and not just surface reading it, you know, to get over with, we find that pearl of great price. That's why it was worded that way. That's why Jesus said it that way. And it becomes a treasure trove of other riches that help us all through life, as well as help us to see how to help those that the Lord sends our way. I mean, in these last days, where we can already see probation has closed on all the churches, it's already closed on the corporate churches, including the SDA Church. I got a page on the website all about it. It has closed. Not on the people yet, because the plagues haven't fallen yet, right? People still have a chance to get out. That's what Revelation 18 is all about. And so Revelation 18:4 now applies in that it says they need to come out of them, and this includes, you know, the SDA Church, wherein we now know probation is truly closed on the corporate body. I mean, if we don't study the Word earnestly, we're going to be attacked by the dying God of this world, who knows the Bible much better than any of us. And yeah, there's going to be people, and the Lord blessed me with a sermon this morning, I got to tell you, in regards to the loud cry and how it's structured and how we're actually doing it now. And so many people think, oh, please just preach smooth things and gentle things about the people that are in sin. You know, and they say I focus on the SDAs and the Catholics. I says, well, I don't focus that much on the Catholics anymore because I've done 33 years on that. I still do what I can for them, but I'm focusing on the SDAs now because Antichrist has reared his ugly head there. And you got to do what Jeremiah did or Ezekiel did or Isaiah did or Moses. Remember when Korah got in his face? Oh, just tell us about the nice things we're doing. Quit telling us what we're doing wrong. That's what they're saying to me all over YouTube. It's like, shut up already. We know we've got problems. Just say nice things. Preach Jesus. Preach love. Yeah, read Ezekiel. You know, I mean, just the one passage alone in regards to where the Lord told him, where was it? It's in Ezekiel. Hold on. Okay, I'm getting a little bit of a, oh, there it is. Ezekiel 16, verse 2, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And we all know how many issues he and Jeremiah had in regards to trying to warn the people. But if you don't read your Bibles, you don't know that that's such a big deal. I mean, this doesn't mean, you know, because the devil knows the Bible better than we do. It doesn't mean that we're all a bunch of sitting ducks. Because if we are honest students in the Bible, the promises contained therein are mostly assured for us. And so when we do the best we can to discover our Father's will for us in His Word, the promise found in 1 Corinthians 10:13 is obvious. And it's not just in regards to, you know, dealing with satanic attacks upon us, you know, demonic activity. It's for any kind of issues in life that we're having problems with that can cause us to despair. I mean, it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And that, by the way, is one of the many, many, many promises in the Bible that are only for Christians. The wicked, the lost, the Muslims, the homosexuals, the atheists, no, they can't claim these promises until they repent and accept Jesus as Savior. Then they get to revel in the peace of Christ just like we do. And so it's fitting that the showbread is where it is in the temple so that we can see it is clearly necessary to read by walking in. And it is also fitting that the priests ate of this showbread daily throughout the week after replacing it with the new showbread on Sabbath day, like we're doing right now. We come to church on Sabbath day to hear His word, and that which the babe learns on Sabbath can be brought in the mind throughout the week as they dine on the bread each morning in their own studies. And it's amazing how the sermons, and many of us have seen this happen between Pastor Craig and I and anybody else that kind of preaches in here on rare occasions, but I don't discuss the sermon with Craig, and he don't discuss the sermon with me, and the new guys that, you know, have sermons, we always pre-read them for them or listen to them in advance, and I don't tell them what to preach, and they don't, you know, of course, I'll double check to make sure everything's all right for the new preachers, but the thing is, or Craig will do it, my point is, the sermon will be about something that the people, as they're reading their Bible throughout the week, are interested in, or have issues in, or are getting blessed in. It's uncanny way the Lord does that sometimes, and you might not even catch it until Friday, let's say, you know, like as you read your Bible. And by the way, studying in the mornings is good, but if you want a way wherein you study even more and it becomes enjoyable, ask the Lord to give you a ministry wherein it causes people to email you or call you with Bible questions. You can make YouTube videos that generate questions in the minds of the people who then post them in comment section for you to respond, or write tracts that do the same thing and give a P.O. box or an email address for them to send in their questions. It said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And what better way to get hungry than to not only study His word for yourself, but for someone the Lord sends your way who has many questions. I remember when I first started studying the Bible, I just couldn't figure out I'm just reading it cover to cover, like I do to this day. You know, I've never missed a day, praise His name. But topical study is necessary once in a while. And the only way, I mean, because I can only come up with so many topics to, you know, question. It's just, okay, I don't understand this, Lord, so please show me Your word, and I'll do a study on that. Or I don't understand this, Lord, and please, show me, and I'll do a study there. Well, after about 3 or 4 or 5 years, I can't remember how many years it took me to get to a point where I couldn't think of anything else to do a study on. He started sending people that were asking me questions I never had before. And that's awesome. I mean, it's like having a giant puzzle in front of you, and you got all the pieces except 2 or 3, you know? And here's these people coming giving you these pieces that if you figure out what the piece looks like or means, you can fit it in the puzzle. But sadly, however, most prefer to let the minister do all the studying for them, and that is why so many people have become lukewarm today, just as prophecy said they would. Not only do they neglect their own much-needed guidance from the Holy Spirit in the reading of the Word, when they rely on mankind to give them the heavenly manna, they're always just going to fall short when they keep trusting man. And especially in these last days when the pulpits are approached and taken over by a pack of ravenous wolves. You can't. Everybody's got to be a Berean now, the serious ones. All the serious Christians, they got to be Bereans. And don't fall for the Vatican-contrived lie that the common man cannot understand the Bible, and so they must rely on the leaders of their church to help them understand it. I mean, yeah, there are times a valid need to approach an elder, a minister, a pastor, or a friend for help with some meaty scripture. But that's wherein the iron sharpening the iron comes in. But I found very early on in my Christian walk that for people to think that the God of all creation can't write a book his own children can understand is to fall into the arms of Rome, who demand their people stop reading their Bibles because they claim it will confuse them. But I must ask, how can a God that created the universe and all that it contains be unable to write his word down in a way that even the uneducated can embrace and understand it, knowing he created them too? That always irked me. And this is what's getting me so upset when I'm looking at the leadership of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I mean, it gets my blood up because I'm seeing the same thing in the SDA Church that I saw in the Catholic Church. That's why I never joined. When we see, no one knew we used to be Catholic when we walked to an SDA Church. But boy, if you were a devout Catholic like we were, you walk into an SDA Church, you could see Catholicism all over the place and no one sees it because, like the pot of cool water that you put the frog in and you turn on the heat, he doesn't realize a problem until he can't jump out because his little toes are going to melt if he tries to touch the bottom. He can't get out. And slowly but surely, they, you know, took over Seventh-day Adventism, just like the prophecy said. That's why the dragon's only angry at them. He's making war with us because we're following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, and they kicked the Lamb out of the church. And so guess what? We're out of there. Although I never joined an SDA church because, I just didn't think that was wise to do. And so again, if you're honest and true in your approach to the Bible as the only source of truth, the Lord sees this honesty deep within you. And he's going to bless you accordingly. And so don't worry about it. Don't worry about knowing it all. You're not going to be able to become a theologian day one. I know in this age of convenience with the millennials out there, they think that the minute they step out of high school, they need a CEO position, you know? Yeah, try that at in any little fast food joint. No, you got to start off, you know, mopping the floors before you can even become a manager, and that's just a manager on a franchise. So why do people think that they can all of a sudden become or expect to become theologians the minute they open a Bible? And boy, oh boy, they'll let you think they're theologians. They read it 10 minutes ago and they think, yeah, they know more than you do. And sometimes they do because a lot of people don't read their Bibles. Satan will never be given any permission to attack you in ways you cannot understand. If the Lord knows you're honest and you're going into the Bible and there's areas that you can't get yet, you can also be assured that that promise from 1 Corinthians 13 is still there. It's still solid. Satan's not going to get permission to mess with you in those areas because the Lord knows you're trying. But if you're not trying at all, well, it's not like the Lord gives the devil permission. You do. You know, you're the one doing it. And we're all our own worst enemy. The Lord steps in when you get close to him. The closer you get to him, the closer he gets to you. But the minute you walk away from him, you're on your own. If you are sincere and you truly do your best to know his word, then Satan cannot use hard-to-understand areas of the Bible to get you all confused and fall into sin. Now, yes, that does happen sometimes, but guess how it usually starts? Some preacher wannabe on YouTube, or some wolf on a pulpit, like a Jesuit who has been able to really manipulate the scriptures to make it look like, in other words, you're in a place you shouldn't be in the first place. The Bible says apostasy is the main fruit of Babylon. No getting around that. They can lie to their blue in the face. It ain't going to change what's written. And every Seventh-day Adventist and every Catholic, I won't mention the Protestants because that's just a big old confusing mess. It's just all Catholicism. It's all it is now. But they all admit their churches are in apostasy. And then that seems so strange. If you're admitting this, why are you still in that church? Oh, go with the ship. You know, the wheat goes with the tares. Yeah, all the way up until the harvest. And we're pretty close to the harvest. So guess what happens to the tares? The harvesters go out there and they bring in the wheat and the tares into the barn. No. Tares are left out there in the field. It's the wheat and the chaff that are brought in. That's what's happening. Got to get out of them churches, because if you're disobedient, Revelation 18 verses 1 to 5 doesn't say Catholic church only. It says any church that embraces the Babylonian spirit, and we have hands. That's why I'm making these videos about the SDA church. I mean, I can show people left and right my website at sdaapostasy.org forever and send them to that one doc page, but some people just don't want to read it. So I said, okay, I'm going to start taking some of the key points out of that document page, all these statements that the SDA Church has said behind closed doors, and put it in writing, no less. I'm going to make videos about them. Maybe that'll get some people to wise up and say, you got to get out of there. We don't have that much time left. The promises of the God of the Bible are rock hard. There's no way that the enemy of souls is going to have any permission to mess with you to where you're going to lose your salvation. Yeah, sure, you might lose your life, but hey, you know, you're going to get up again. But if you stay in disobedience, you're on your own. Period. There's just no two ways about it. So if the Christian desires to have his or her own spiritual power daily improved, then a daily study of the Word of God is a must. That's why after you get baptized, you walk into the holy place in the sanctuary, and the first thing you see is that bread. Well, actually, the lamp shining on the bread, right? And so if the, you know, if you desire it, that's where you got to be. We must all eat and digest the Word of God if we are ever to know His will for us. And as we eat a small loaf of His bread at a time, as Jesus did when He fed the 5,000, He will multiply that bread within us to the point we are filled with His truth. Now, do you understand why there was only one loaf and a couple of little fish? He can multiply. You start chewing on that, and you're going to get it. You're going to get an understanding. You may not understand it right off, but who does? He's got to test you, make sure that you're serious. And just so you know, I looked into the word showbread in the Smith's Bible Dictionary and found something rather interesting. And so I saved it for when we were mostly done regarding this portion of the study. Reason I went there is because Strong's only speaks of the showbread as a bread or food in general, but in Smith's dictionary it states the following, and I'll close with this. It's showbread. I just copied and pasted the whole thing in here, and it's pulling references from Exodus 25, 35, and 39, but I'm just going to read the, it says literally, bread of the face, or bread of faces. Showbread was unleavened bread placed upon a table which stood in the sanctuary together with the seven-branched candlestick and the altar of incense. The title, bread of the face, seems to indicate that the bread through, in other words, the Hebrew definition of the word showbread, seems to indicate that the bread through which God is seen, that is, with the participation of which the seeing of God is bound up, or through the participation of which man attains the sight of God, whence it follows that we have not to think of bread merely as such as the means of nourishing the bodily life, but as spiritual food, as a means of appropriating and retaining the life, or that life, which consists in seeing the face of God. Isn't that neat? I mean, that's an excellent way to describe the showbread, or the Bible. You want to know what God looks like? Open that book. And that is one, I mean, that's a beautiful way of putting it. That's why I figured I'd want to share it with y'all. I didn't know that much about Smith. It's just a dictionary. It's not like he's going to get... Well, he did get somewhat theological here, but the power of the Bible, it's just amazing how not only do we learn of Christ and His Father and the Holy Spirit in us, allows us to look a little deeper into His Word as we grow closer to see the face of God in a spiritual way. For we all know that no man can look upon the face of the Father and live, and so this is one of the best ways to look into our Father's face in a blessed way, and that doing so helps us to understand His will for our lives. And since we also know the showbread represents the Word of God, and the Word of God was made flesh in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who also stated to Philip when he asked him to show him the Father in John 14:9, it says that Jesus said to him, "Have I not been so long time with you?" Or no, he says, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" So if you want to see what the Father looks like, open your Bible. I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.